Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Doug.
Hello, other Doug.
It's Thursday, February 19th, 2021. Right? Is that right? No.
I could be mixed up on everything you just said.
It's the 18th. That's
a great question. 18th, yeah.
But people will hear this on the 19th, so I always get confused by that. But I know you have lots of friends in Texas, so we just want to make sure everybody knows that, thoughts and prayers is always so lame. But also I have posted on Twitter, Jen Kirkman made a really great thread on her Twitter of just all the different ways you can help people in Texas right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
I hope everybody's doing all right down there.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing the show anyway, Doug. I know that you're...
Yeah, man, of course.
Your head is elsewhere, but maybe we'll give you a chance to not think about it for a bit.
Yeah.
Some of the people
without electricity are still listening to podcasts and stuff on their phones, so they need escapes as well. So
it's true. Well, and I was just going to say that it's just great timing because our guest today, Allison Rosen, is a notorious Texas hater. I don't actually know where she stands on Texas. I can only assume that she loves it. And she's the host of, Allison Rosen is your new best friend, which is also what I think you will be with her, Doug, at the end of this episode of our show.
All right.
Yeah. So let's get to work. Hey, everybody.
Are you smoking marijuana?
I just took the big bong during the theme song because I thought that would be, because I'm not very metal except for the big bong rips.
Smoking pot and heavy metal seem contradictory.
Yeah, right? But Brian Posehn has that, the stoner metal guy, he's got that market corner.
True.
I'm the stoner movie nerd. But joining us today, thank you for being here. It's everybody's new best friend, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Dougs. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here. I really enjoy that theme song.
Well, good. I'm glad you like it. People seem to like it a lot. I was... I thought it'd be more like an assault on the guests that leave them a little, dazed coming into the show. You know, I like to have people a little off balance.
Right. Who does the song?
It's a gentleman. His name is Yogi Watts, no relation to Reggie. Mm. And I am related to him. My niece is his wife.
Oh.
And he's a drummer who plays with all sorts of different bands, but one of the bands he plays with is metal. So when we got this show, I just thought it would be funny to have a unnecessarily aggressive theme song because as you can already tell, Doug barely even speaks, and I'm taking like bong rips during the show. So
I like it. It's like, you think you know Doug's, you don't know Doug's when you hear this song. There's like, there's aggro Doug's out there. Yeah, Ags Doug's.
There absolutely are. There's Doug's out there that have had it and they've had enough and they're going to storm the Capitol. But we try to focus on all the good Doug's out there, which I feel like most people that are named Doug do end up being fairly good, because just by virtue of the fact that the way they're treated their entire lives, because their name already sounds like a nickname.
Or a cartoon character.
What about Allison? How has your relationship with the name Allison been your entire life? Have you always?
I'm fine with the name Allison. I like the name Allison, but every now and again, and I'm wondering, does everyone have this with their name? Every now and again, I get this, like, it's almost like a chill that goes through my body. It's a feeling of like, oh my God, my name is Allison. That's weird. Do you have that with your name? It's like an existential.
Absolutely.
Like it's sort of like, I used to also have it. Like I would be looking at one of my parents and this sort of feeling would go through me that like, that's not just my mom. Like she's a person that exists in the world. And I remember seeing my music teacher from elementary school out at a restaurant, like for brunch one morning. And I had that feeling too. There's probably like some German word for what I'm talking about. This sort of
Rammstein.
Yes. It's a Rammstein. Thank you. but let's see, my family called me Allie. Some people still call me Allie. I had a swimming teacher who called me Big Al, and I've never liked that. I get a Big Al every now and again. Don't like that. And I've noticed that in terms of representations of Allisons, oftentimes Allisons on TV are like very blonde and bubbly, but Allison on The Sure Thing, that movie, The Sure Thing, one of my favorite movies, she was scholarly. So that's one representation of Allison that I felt I related to more.
I totally see that character as the young you. I could totally see it.
Thank you. Sort of. I'm going to say,
why do you think she was, I don't think she was seriously flawed, right? She was, I mean, only in the sense that she was probably written by men.
She was good. I think that she was uptight, but I am also uptight. So, I mean, to a degree. So, right. Because didn't she?
No,
like,
you're not. You're everybody's best friend.
That's right. I'm loose. I mean, but not like that, but also maybe for a little while in my 20s, but actually more like 30s, because I was a late bloomer, early 30s. But I think in the movie, right, didn't she and her super nerdy boyfriend have like, they had their favorite tees that they were very excited about. And they were super excited about how flannel sheets wear, you know, break in and stuff. But then by the end, she's shotgun to beer. No spoiler. So
yeah, John Cusack's character like got her to loosen up.
Right.
And you know, I mean, it's such a trope, but I thought the two of them, it's just a charming movie to me, and also just an out of left field thing that Rob Reiner went from Spinal Tap to that.
Yeah,
it was immediately like, it's just his very next movie after Spinal Tap was like, hey, that's, I'm not gonna be a guy that makes those kind of movies. I'll leave that to Christopher Guest.
I need to watch that movie again. When I was in, let's see, the summer between 7th and 8th grade, my parents decided we should drive across the country. They, for some reason, my sister was 4 years younger. So I was 12 and my sister was 8, and they thought these are like the perfect ages to drive across the country to really, I don't know. They thought for some reason we'd appreciate it. I actually, if you have children these ages, I would highly recommend it. I think we were at the exact wrong ages to do it. And we took a really long educational, I mean, we took like 7 weeks to drive across the country and then back in my mom's Acura sedan. So not a big car.
Whoa.
And she got this tiny television And then I think it was like Super 8. This actually, I have to say, I don't think I realized how cool it was of her to do this at the time, but now I do realize it. She like dubbed movies onto these little Super 8 tapes. So we would sit in the back of the car, not appreciating the cornfields or the cows or whatever we were supposed to admire, and just watching movies. And I watched The Sure Thing over and over and over. Now the idea of watching a tiny screen from the backseat of a car, it sounds nauseating. But at the time, I would read Sweet Valley High books. I would watch this movie over and over again. That's my memory.
I don't even know what the question was, but
the question was my relationship with my name. Sorry, I went off on a tangent.
So professionally, Allison, has worked out well for you? Like, it hasn't been, there haven't been any issues with it?
No, I don't think anyone has ever pulled me aside and said like, hey, you should change your name to Doug.
What about the spelling though? Mm.
You've honed right in on my pain, Doug. laser like. I didn't know this was going to be this kind of interview where I was going to cry.
Yeah, sorry about the hardball question.
Yeah, yeah. So my parents claim
just one L in hardball, by the way.
Right. And my middle name is Michelle with two L's. So people always get those wrong, or they get, I think that
when
that's
people
the
people have to write down both.
If they have to write down both.
All those times that happens.
Day in, day out.
Yeah, it's
but my parents, the same ones who exhibited such poor judgment on the ages of driving us across the country, claim that when they named me, one L, I was the more common way to spell it. However, I think that is wrong because everyone always assumes it's A-L-L-I. And I know it's wrong because I've gone into countless like gift shops, gas stations where they sell those little tiny personalized license plates. And it's very hard to find one A-L-I. It's very easy to find A-L-L-I. So I just accept that most people will spell it wrong. I also, though, I don't want to be perceived as someone who's like, you have to do my special weird spelling. But my parents did that to me.
Yeah.
Another person that can't get one of those personalized license plates. That's very sad to me.
Who's the other one?
We meet them all the time because we always talk to people about their names. And, you know, again, I think that the reason all of our friends are comedians and actors and they're in show business and stuff is because, you know, the unusual name thing is not a crazy theory when it comes to what makes people sort of, it forces them to sort of be extroverts and, you know, go that extra mile because they've already got this kind of albatross that is whatever their name is.
And right. It definitely seems inaccurate because I think you're the only Allison of the Allisons I know with the one L. But I like it because, you know, that makes you special.
Call my parents. I wonder, the Elvis Costello song, I wonder how that is spelled. Because everyone, actually, it's been a long time since they've done this, but there was a chunk of my life where people would always sing that into my answering machine or voicemail.
That's one L.
Right, but that's the thing. His spelling doesn't come into pronunciation.
Right, I'm just
although
wondering.
Although he does go Alice, it does sound like two L's.
I just looked it up though, it's one L. So that's going for you. I love
there
it.
There you go, that's what it is. You have the British spelling you should start telling people.
That's right, and actually there's a group of women named Allison, but they go by Allie, who've come on my podcast.
Oh, wow.
And let's see. So it's Allison Siegel, Jason Siegel's sister. She's one L. And then Allie Ward, she's one L. And then Allie McKay, I think she's two L's. So there are us one L women out there. We're just few and far between.
I dated an Allison. It was definitely two L's because I had it tattooed on my body for a minute.
Really?
And I had to get, it said I Heart Alley, but then it ended poorly. So I got I Heart Alligators over it.
That's amazing. Now how did, it was A-L-L-I?
Yeah. And God. So I thought alligators was the closest. And I put the, it's where like a Lacoste shirt, where the logo on a Lacoste shirt would be. So I put the alligator Lacoste logo over it.
That's perfect. Did you, at the time when things were still going well, were you thinking like, however, if things go south, I can do this? Or did that come to you after things already?
I guess at the time you don't think about this is going to end if you're getting it, you know? So it was just an easy one to fix because it was also very small. So not a problem. I've got plenty of tattoos that need to be fixed.
Yeah. I mean, had she spelled her name my way, then you would just have to do alligators misspelled.
With the weird, sad alligator.
You know, when people say, why is alligator misspelled? You could say, oh, alligators are, they're copyrighted. they've got a trademark. What about Dougs, Allison? Have you known any Dougs with either one or two L's in their name? Because we do have the long form. We have Douglas, and I don't think anybody goes double L in Douglas.
No, but I always forget if it's double S or one S.
Right? Double S does seem like people would try to do that, but I don't think anybody does.
Douglas.
So, Doug Benson, Doug, I think you are the preeminent Doug that I know. I think before that, it just existed as a name that I thought of as a common guy name, but paradoxically, I don't know very many. I dated a guy whose middle name was Douglas. Do I know any other Doug? I don't think I know any other Doug.
You got me now.
Well, now you've got a new best friend named Doug Mellard.
I've got two Dougs now.
Yeah, you really, that's what we're here for, is to build people's Doug numbers.
That's good. My Doug quota is full.
Yeah, we just added to your numbers by 100%.
Do you meet other people who don't have a lot of Doug experience?
Yeah, that's another thing that we find common, is when they do, there's just two or three Dougs in addition to me, and they're also generally pleasant. You know, they generally are have positive feelings about them, and every once in a while there is an evil Doug in somebody's past. It does happen.
Interesting because I know like 45 Mikes. Everyone I know is Mike.
There's a lot of Mikes. It's true. That's a big one.
But you'd think Doug, Mike,
Dan,
Rob, Greg, you'd think that those are all kind of a piece, and yet not so with the Dougs.
No, I
they're
think
rare.
The Dougs are, I just think they're not, you know, they don't sound macho.
Mm.
You know, when people are naming their boy, they want to give the boy a man's name.
Like Tex.
You know, and Doug is, Doug is the guy down at the office that's like, you know, always doing weird impressions by the water cooler. Different types of blowfish.
Doug will have its day. One of these Doug will come back in favor, I bet.
Yeah, I guess in some ways it's worked out for me because it stands out, especially because I also have, I guess Doug Mellard would agree too, that our last names don't stand out in any way. So, you know, just being named Doug does. At least we're not swimming around in a big pool of Dougs when we're out doing our thing. You know, it's not a lot of competition there. What we do now on the show here in the back half is a segment or a section called Five and Five, where Doug Mellard and I each come up with five questions we'd like to ask our guest. And we just take turns asking the questions, and he and I do not consult ahead of time, but we still manage somehow to come up with generally different questions.
I love, and this is going to sound like a backhanded compliment or insincere, but I mean this 100% sincerely. I love that you've made a lack of prep a feature of this game.
You mean on your part, that you don't have to do anything?
Oh, no, I meant that you guys made like the fact that you didn't get together ahead of time to talk about it a feature of the game.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I just don't.
It's funner that way.
He's got things he wants to know. I've got things I want to know. We also want to have fun. So some of the questions are, you know, can be pretty silly. And the other feature that we just started is, before we go to the break and before we can get to your main course, it's time for Allison Rosen to eat some leftovers. If this were the kind of show that had little musical stings, there would definitely be one right there.
Leftovers.
Yeah.
There it is.
Definitely like a Paul Schaefer special.
Is it cool if we use that from now on?
That's, please do.
Thanks.
I don't want Ryan to have to sit and wait for that cue. I guess we can maybe put it in post. But I don't want him to have to be the guy that's figures out where the drops have to go. So here's how Eat Some Leftovers works. Last week we had on the show a gentleman named Todd Robert Anderson. Do you know him, Allison?
I don't.
He's an actor who plays, he's Vernon on the TV show You're the Worst. And he shows up in commercials quite a bit. He's a good, funny actor and a nice dude.
I'm going to look him up because I bet I do know. I bet if I saw him, I would know him.
If you saw his face, you'd be like, oh yeah, that guy. Because Todd Robert Anderson, that's just like, he's just running around with three random ass names.
Todd with one L.
Yeah, he's only got one L in Todd. It's weird. But anyway, he was the guest a week ago. So we only got to, we each asked him three questions. So there's four remaining questions for Todd Robert Anderson, man you may not know anything about other than what I just told you. And we would like to ask you his leftover questions.
I love it.
And, you know, you can answer as yourself or you can answer what you think Todd would have answered.
Great.
Whatever you want. There's no,
can't wait.
There's no wrong answers. where did we leave off? Whose turn was it?
I don't know whose turn it was, but if we have two each, that means you are next.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
That's how math works. Yeah.
I think so.
I'm not very smart though, but I think
let's see.
I know for sure that it's Doug's turn.
Yeah. All right,
Allison.
Yes.
You played Ken on the sitcom Nikki.
I did.
On the WB. How did you like working with Toby Huss?
Oh, he's a dream.
Great. He's great, right?
It was like, honestly, sometimes I forgot it was work. It was just like shooting the shit with friends. I looked forward, you know, and on the weekends, I found myself looking forward to going back to work on the, you know, that's a good gig when you're like, you miss your coworkers on the weekends.
Do you know who Toby Huss is?
Nope.
He's in The Office, right?
All right. That was a perfect answer. He was, did you ever watch The Adventures of Pete and Pete?
No, but wait, if he's on The Office, then is he the balding guy?
He's not a regular on The Office. He may have, as a character actor, he may have scooted through there at some point.
I'm going to look him up too. Toby Huss.
Did you see Enough Said with Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini?
No.
I just saw that recently. He's got a pretty good part in that. He's one of those guys that just like works all the time, especially old timey movies. Like if you're making an old timey baseball movie, there's nobody better to have as your first base coach.
I think I do recognize him and I stand by my answer.
Yeah. He's a good guy. He's good. I was just assuming that would have provoked Todd into telling us, you know, what a great guy Toby is. And that's basically the point of that question. What's your next question for Todd, Doug? I mean, Allison.
I thought this was funny because it was a question for him, but because of the title of your book, Tropical Attire Encouraged and Other Phrases, Other Phrases I Hate?
That right? Scare me.
That scare me, sorry. Yeah. I thought it would be funny to ask you this now. Because, Todd, you were in Hawaii Five-O. Who wore Hawaiian tropical, I guess, attire best between Ace Ventura, Nicolas Cage in Raising Arizona, or Tom Selleck in Magnum PI? Who worked best?
That's a great question, I have to say.
That is sorry, can you give me the options again?
Jim Carrey as Ace Ventura, Nicolas Cage in Raising Arizona, or Tom Selleck in Magnum PI?
I'm going to say Nicolas Cage in Raising Arizona.
Iconic.
I was just going to say iconic. You are reading my mind. Iconic, timeless, hilarious, stylish.
His whole look was so good. Like, I know Nicolas Cage tries to change his appearance all the time, but that was one where you kind of get lost in not being, it's not as much of a Nicolas Cage performance. Mm-hmm. It's actually a character who behaves like Nicolas Cage. but that is great. That's a great answer. That's what I would have said. Isn't that what you would have said too, Doug?
I believe so. It's hard between that and Magnum PI though, because I love me some Magnum.
Yeah, I'm not talking to Tom Selleck right now currently, so.
That is true. He's not doing some good things.
Yeah. Oh, what's he, Todd and Allison don't know what's going on. What's he doing?
He's in those ads for reverse mortgage. It's no big deal. You can trust this setup. I trust them. So you should too. It's really, he goes in deep as a spokesman, like Alex Trebek used to do ads for shit like that, but he never used to be like, I really believe in this company. It was more like, well, yeah, clearly he's getting paid to say some things, mm-hmm. you know, but when the person's like putting their name on it and really owning it, like Tom Selleck is,
it's
like,
yeah.
Why would you think anybody should be doing this? Anyway.
Yeah. Well, then I'm glad I didn't choose him.
Yeah, no, that's you got the right answer.
I'm just mad at him because also by all accounts, he's like the friendliest, like, you know, nobody has shit to say about him. And he's clearly also conservative and that doesn't seem to go against him. You know, like that Blue Bloods show has been going for years. You know, we'd know about it if the cast was, unhappy with him. Like how you hear about actors talking shit about John Voight all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, is my next question?
Yeah, your second leftover.
I wanted to know how Todd, how did you play two different characters on CSI?
Oh, you caught that, did you? Well,
IMDb rarely lies, my friend.
And the thing is, it was like many seasons apart, was it not?
It was a few seasons apart, yeah. As I recall from looking at it. It wasn't right away, so
right.
Perhaps so, everyone involved just justified it as, oh, he's just a different character. No one's
different. Yeah, I mean, if you know, on Law and Order SVU, something that I always refer to in my answers as Todd, they have also done that. And it's, you know, it's funny. People don't really, they just kind of buy in to a show that's that creates a world like that. People just buy in and they just go along for the ride.
I think you're right, Todd.
Thank you. Yeah. I thought a lot about it.
All right. And one last question for Todd, Robert Anderson from Doug.
Melly Mill.
Mellard.
All right, Todd, last one.
Okay.
Because I saw you were in the David Cassidy story.
Oh, yeah.
Partridge Family versus Brady Bunch in a fight to the death. Who wins?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, that's hard for me. You know, I want to say the Brady Bunch because I believe there's more of them, ?
I think you're right.
Yeah. So I'm going to say the Brady Bunch. However, I was in the Partridge story. So I really should say Partridge. And plus we had a van. But I've got to give it to my nemesis, the Bradys. There's just so many of them and they were so repressed. They would have so much anger. Yeah. They would win.
Yeah. I was going to say, they seem so nice that there has to be some rage behind that.
Yeah. For and also sure. like are Oliver and Alice, are they sidelined or can they get in there and throw?
They can get in there too. And Sam can get in there too.
So Alice is part of the family.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah, they had a kid named Ricky who showed up late in the game on Partridge Family, but he was like seemed like a real frail kid.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'd couldn't take Oliver.
He'd be a liability.
Yeah, probably.
You'd take care of him.
Yeah, yeah. Keith would have to look out for him, or Lori, and then you're losing two of your biggest kids right there. It's terrible. Well, I can't wait to hear what Allison Rosen would respond to questions that are actually written for Allison Rosen.
I don't even, I enjoyed answering as Todd so much. I almost, from now on, I only want to answer as Todd, except exception for you guys.
All right. We'll try to phrase the questions in the next part of the show as, what do you think Todd would say
okay.
this question? And we'll do that right after this brief break. We'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back with Allison Rosen. It's time for 5 and 5. This is another case where a fun little song would come in.
5 and 5.
Yeah, for that kind of show. Yeah, maybe that's what we do, Doug, is every time we just goad the guest into making the little themes.
Oh, I love it.
You should do that.
Nobody's going to be as good as you, though.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Because you invented it. It was organic for you. Everyone else is going to be under pressure.
I'm surprised none of your other guests have done that, and I'm sort of disappointed in them.
They might have.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I just don't know if I've spoken before about how we should have jingles and stings throughout the show, but that we also shouldn't because they're a pain and they're annoying. But if we make the guests do them.
Have you had Andy Kindler on?
I have not.
I mean,
he did it. He did it back. He's done my other podcasts, but he's never been on this one. I haven't discussed it with Doug Mellard. Would you enjoy talking to Andy Kindler?
Oh my God. Are you kidding? Of course.
Yeah.
I think we'd get through maybe one question.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Is you like being sidetracked constantly, right?
Yeah.
I think he would definitely do up the jingle though, because my show has jingles and he like redid all of them.
Yeah. Andy definitely likes that sort of thing. Okay. So we each came up with 5 questions for you. Allison Rosen.
Can't wait.
And I do this every time because it's a little bit of a tradition. We discuss who should go first. Which did we decide is better? I guess you should go first,
Doug. You want me to go first this time? Okay.
Oh, wait, which do you think is better?
Did we cut to a break, by the way?
We did.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
How they're really fast.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to insert myself into this. Now, what's the criteria for how you decide which is better, Doug or Doug? For starting.
For starting?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out for format-wise, I guess it's probably best if I have the last question.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so to get to that result, then I guess you should go first, Doug.
All right. Allison
yes.
or Todd, however you want to answer.
Thank you.
I couldn't help but notice on your bio, you're a big Facts of Life fan.
I am.
Who is your favorite character and why?
Okay, so I have been asked this.
Here we go. Don't forget those 10 questions.
I'll keep it short. I have been asked this many times and I can't choose. It is hard for me to choose, but if I had to, Natalie Green.
Natalie.
I just enjoy her sarcasm. She's a journalist. I was a journalist. But it's really hard for me to choose. I like all of them.
She has a way with a line, that Natalie.
She does, yes.
You know what I mean? Like, she was the most entertaining in that regard. Like, she had the most personality would come through just in how she says things.
I feel like a lot of my early sense of humor was formed from watching Facts of Life, and it was just heavy sarcasm. Like, she's the most sarcastic, probably.
Right.
Right. Joe would be if she wasn't just so, you know, what's the word for Joe? Like, she's just like, is self-involved the right way to describe her?
I don't know that I would say Joe is
She's too introspective. She's too worried about what other people think, right?
Joe? Are you thinking of Blair?
Oh, Joe is more like a tough guy.
Yeah, Joe likes motorcycles. Yeah, she's from the Bronx. But Blair was concerned about what other people think.
There you go.
I think growing up, I always liked Tootie just because I thought the name was funny.
Tootie is fun.
They're all great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, like, Blair was uptight, right?
Yeah. She was like a rich girl, and she was mean from Texas. Girl. And she, I mean, I think Lisa Weltrell, the actress, might have been somewhat uptight. Here's a little bit of trivia. So. Ooh. In the later years, they had an episode where one of them was going to lose their virginity, and it was supposed to be Blair, Whoa. But Lisa Weltrell didn't want to do that. So they had it be Natalie because they thought, I remember reading something about, like, they thought, how, you know, let's do the one that you might least think it would be. Mm-hmm. And it was Natalie, and she lost her virginity to her boyfriend Snake, played by Robert Romanus from Fast Times.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well. Wow.
Snake.
Yeah. And also, like, it's funny, but, like, the girl, the Natalie character is also, like, there's no group that would come after the network for insinuating that you know, that she's slutty and would get pregnant out of wedlock. You know, you can't do it with the Italian girl. You can't do it with the black girl.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, Blair was too, her character was too rich to, you know, fall for that kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
Man, we Although got she, deep into the Facts of Life.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't get, she didn't have a child out of wedlock or anything. That would have been cool if she did.
Yeah, absolutely. But what was the boy like that she lost her virginity to? Was he nice to her? Or was it one of those stories?
No, he was nice. He was her boyfriend. I think he worked on Cars, actually, because I sort of remember him wearing coveralls.
I love how much you know about this. This is amazing.
I mean, I think they were in their early 20s, though. So it was later than, I think, the average. She was kind of an adult at that point. And... Yeah, he was her boyfriend. It was good.
Yeah, it was like, you know, she held on to virginity. Like, it was like Stephen Carell years for yes. a man, it'd be 30. But for a woman, it's, you know, 23.
Right. Exactly.
All right.
Fantastic answer. We learned a lot.
Do you have any follow-up questions to that one? Because I Facts of Life as a subject, I'm very into it.
No, I mean, I think that took us on a whole journey. I love it.
Wasn't Cloris Leachman part of the Facts of Life universe?
Yes.
Wow,
She replaced Mrs. Garrett. Mrs. Garrett left because she got married, and I think she moved to Africa or something. And then Cloris Leachman came in to sort of fill the Mrs. Garrett role as Beverly Ann Stickle, and then she was on for years. And then Orson Bean played her boyfriend.
Charlotte Ray retired, or she passed away?
No, she did not pass. I mean, she has since passed away sort of recently, yeah. But I don't know. You'd think I would know this. I don't exactly know why she chose to leave the show, but she did choose to leave the show.
Maybe it was money.
Maybe. Or maybe she'd just been doing it for years and was kind of tired of it.
Yeah, like, I did enough of that.
Yeah.
You know, but so how was the transition to Cloris Leachman? Was it, did the show take a big hit from Mrs. Garrett leaving, or did it just kind of go on?
So I don't know in reality if what the reviews were saying or what the critics were saying. Young Alison Rosen did not mind. I was in. I enjoyed everything. I watched it uncritically. So I felt fine with the transition. I liked when they were at Eastland. I liked when they were at Edna's Edibles. I liked when they were at their novelty shop over our heads. I was fine with everything. I will say the very end, I feel that it did not, the quality was not as strong. Like the very, very, very end. But I liked, so, you know, very funny stuff happened when Beverly Ann was there. But they did two made-for-TV movies, Facts of Life Go to Paris and Facts of Life Down Under. Facts of Life Go to Paris, one of my favorites, and that was with Mrs. Garrett. And then Facts of Life Down Under was with Beverly Ann and Pippa,
Paul Hogan,
who became a character, and Andy. And that was not as good. Yeah. I mean, I got to watch it again, but I don't think it was as good.
By Down Under, they mean hell, right?
Yeah, it was like a take on Dante's Inferno. No, there was a whole plot with the Sydney Opera House. Yeah.
Oh, my.
It was Australia. Tootie and the Aborigines. I mean, there's a whole thing.
Who's the architect that did the Opera House?
George Clooney.
That's not what we're supposed to know, though, right?
I mean, none of us know it, so I'd say no.
Is it like I.M. Pei or somebody like that?
Yes.
Is it a, oh shit. I'm terrible with architecture and the names and stuff, but if I had more of a clue, like on Jeopardy, I might be able to come up with it.
Can I tell you guys something? When I was on the Adam Carolla show, I made an offhand comment about how architects are megalomaniacs and they're known to be assholes. And everyone looked at me just dumbfounded, like, what? And I was like, this is a thing. It's a thing that architects are like hard to work with. Have you guys ever heard this?
I have not.
But I back it 100% because it just seems like you got to really know your shit to make it anywhere in architecture, because there's so much that you could do wrong that would just lead to not getting to do it anymore.
Yeah. Right.
You know, one fucked up stupid building and you're probably finished, you know?
Right. One building that collapses or that like is just upside down, or, you know, the insides are outside. Yeah. And also you have to believe in your vision so much that you can like impose it upon the land.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like, it's hard to do architecture by committee, I imagine. So it's like my way or the highway with those guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Control freak for sure.
Yeah. Yes.
By the way, the architect's name is Jorn Utzon.
Oh, it's an Utzon.
Is that the name you thought it was, Doug?
No.
Jorn Utzon, that's a good
name. Why I didn't know Jorn it, I think, Utzon. Is just because I've never learned it. I've just always been told that it's by somebody, that, you know, somebody special. I mean, that's like the Rio de Janeiro statue of Jesus with his arms out.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, when they go to that country or that continent even, the filmmakers cannot not show those things.
They have to.
It's like if you go to New York, you know, don't have a shot of, you know, either the Empire State Building or the Statue of Liberty, then how are people going to know? Everyone's going to assume it's Toronto, which it often is. Okay. Whose turn is it? What happened?
It's your question number one.
Oh, are you kidding me?
He's not kidding. It really is.
Well, this is a fun, easy, quick answer question.
Okay, good.
Should our government erase all student loan debt?
Yes.
All right, Doug, you're next.
Good answer. you clearly love dogs, and I also saw that you think farts are funny.
I do.
So I have a question about your dog. When your dog farts, how does she react to it?
She seems completely unaware. Like,
really?
It surprises me, because how is she not also enveloped in the stench? But, you know, dogs like to lick poop and eat poop and stuff sometimes. Not all dogs, not all the time, but that's a thing. So.
But why wouldn't they then, in that case, be sitting there taking extra big breaths of air and just really enjoying it?
Wafting, yeah, taking it in.
Right. Luxuriating in it. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. She just seems, she's totally over her own farts.
That's crazy. I that popped into my head. I was reading about you. And then I also, this morning, my dog let one go. Mm. It's the worst smell. And then on top of that, whenever it happens, most of the time, and this is what happened this morning, she acts so shocked. Like, she doesn't know how that happened or where it came from.
That's an intelligent dog.
Yeah, so she'll jump, but then she'll give you a look. Like, why did you make me do that? Or why did you do that? And then she'll like wander off to another area, like in total disgust of either me or herself. It's so funny to watch.
So this is the luckiest Penny, right? Famous.
Yeah.
Remind me what kind of dog she is. She's just a mix.
Just call her a brown dog, but a lot of shepherding kind of dog in her.
Yeah. I feel like that is very intelligent, because that's kind of what a human does when they don't want to be blamed for a fart. Like, gross. You know, whereas my dog, she's a spaniel. She's not at the point yet where she realizes that it would behoove her to pretend that she didn't do it.
Maybe. Yeah, well, that's the thing is, old school people roll up a newspaper and, you know, smack the crap out of their dog for doing that, like a dog, you know, like it's voluntary.
Right.
And, right.
And that's got to be really weird to be scared to fart.
Right.
Like, physically, you know what I mean? Like, embarrassed is one thing, but like frightened that there's going to be physical pain that comes along with farting has got to be a weird way to live.
I don't even know that a dog can control. I mean, they can control their bowels, but I don't know that they can control a fart. My dog certainly acts like she can't.
Yeah, I don't think they can. I don't think, you know, I think they are just, they're animals after all. And like you said, right. They're sniffing each other and stuff. So like, it doesn't really bother them. And so they, you know, and if the people that own them make a big deal out of it, again, it's just like, I don't think a dog has any control over it. It might come down to, have you ever had any issues with figuring out a diet for your pets? Keep them from farting, either one of you? This question's open to the floor.
No, I've never, you know, I've just always accepted her farts as part of her. So I've never really tinkered with her food for fart reasons. We did have to put her on a diet. So we were already on a low-cal food, but we just started limiting it. And I have to say, she has reached her goal weight and she's never looked better in a bikini. But no, I've never really thought about trying to limit the farts. Maybe I should, but I like farts. So
my wife has changed Penny's diet to like an all natural, you know, like rice and vegetables and stuff and some meat. And oh my God, she loves it. But I think it is creating more farts, unfortunately, but it's better for her. So we just deal with the aftermath.
It's sort of like when a person switches to a vegan diet,
sure.
Their farts are incredible.
There are a lot of great sound bites from you on this episode.
Thank
I love it.
Thank you. You know who else doesn't really control their farts and they just fly everywhere? Are babies. I don't know how much time you guys have spent around babies and toddlers. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just also just, it's really funny that, sure, there's times when you can hold in a fart, but it's not really, it's just, there's no consistency to it. Like, it's just there to remind everybody that we're all the same. I mean, can you imagine like getting to be there when like George Clooney farts or somebody? I mean, he'd probably laugh, so that'd probably ruin it. You need somebody who's a celebrity that would be embarrassed by their own fart.
Dame Judi Dench.
I don't know. She seems like she might like laugh after I rip in a good one.
Right. Who's like a super proper uptight celebrity?
I mean, Omarosa wouldn't want to fart around anybody.
Right.
She would be devastated. It's probably what happened when they got kicked her out of the.
I hate to even mention this person, but I feel like Ivanka.
Yeah.
Ivanka, the daughter. I doubt she like loves her farts.
There's no way she likes farting. She's such a, like, she's such a princess, like I never fart kind of vibe.
Right.
Which, you know, I think it's a perfectly fine vibe for people to get off. They just got to be able to face reality when it happens in front of, innocent people. as much fun as it is to pile on Rudy Giuliani for farting, it's like, well, how's he going to not fart? He's going to just sit there and shit his pants.
Remember that Chris Matthews fart? Or he said it was a coffee mug.
Yeah. I mean, those were always so weird. It's just like, you know, it's just like, okay, I guess so. But I mean, it's so easy to just put, you know, it's not like a Zapruder footage or something. You can put a fart sound on anything and get away with it. There was that, remember that clip that used to go around, or clips of that funny, that preacher guy that was like,
oh yeah, the farting preacher, right? The farting
minister. God, that guy cracked me up.
I don't know about this.
My wife probably watches that once every 2 weeks just to get a laugh on in the pandemic.
Oh my God. Or how about another thing that just would make me happy instantly, I think at any time, is the Uncle Fucker song in South Park with all the farting. It's just ridiculous. So stupid.
Apologies to
our guest for taking up so much time on that.
No apology necessary.
Another, do you like multiple choice, Allison?
Sure.
Okay. Pick between these three.
Okay.
And people always love to have follow-up questions like, am I picking it based on this or that? Or, you know, they want to qualify what the reason is they're picking. I'm just saying pick one.
Okay.
War of the Roses, Rosemary's Baby, or Rose from the Golden Girls?
C, Rose from the Golden Girls.
That's exactly what I was hoping you would say. And, we should probably move on, try to get in at least one more question. Doug, do you have another one?
Kind of in the same vein, kind of. Favorite of the three amigos, Dusty Bottoms, Lucky Day, or Ned Niederlander?
All right. Now, first of all, which one is which?
Oh, Ned is Martin Short, Dusty is Chevy Chase, and Lucky Day is, of course, Steve Martin.
Ned, Martin Short is... I just love him. I mean, I love all of them, but I was, before I even remembered who was who, or before you told me who was who, I was going to say Ned. So I'm going with Ned.
Ned was kind of adorable and had some of the sneakier laughs, I would say. Chevy Chase did a lot of more slapsticky stuff. That's hard though. Yeah. I would say Ned or Steve Martin's character, but good answer.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a great one. A really good answer to end on. We got through. How many did we get through? We did pretty good.
Oh, wait. Weren't you going to end on a question, though?
Yeah, I feel like we need one more.
No, we're out of time.
Oh.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. We gotta figure this shit out.
So someone next week is going to have some very specific Allison Rosen questions.
I can't wait to hear what their questions are going to be.
Yeah, I think that's part of the fun.
I love it.
This is fun.
Sharing of interviews, which, you know, sounds dangerous, but I think it's a fun game. And you were great answering both questions as yourself and as Todd. Please send me a picture of yourself wearing a mask for me to promote this particular episode.
I will. When do you need that by? Or that's a conversation we could have off mic.
This evening. But you can go, with an existing picture. You don't have to take a new one. I just like mask pictures for my for all my promotions if possible.
I love it. I just don't think I have a photo of me with a mask that's good. maybe I could
I'm telling you, throw on a mask and some sunglasses and
I'll do it. Yeah.
You know, do it in front of your picture. Your logo is you with big giant sunglasses on.
Oh, wait. I do have a photo of me with like two masks on, sunglasses, and a face shield.
Oh, man. Right. There you go. See, that's what I'm talking about.
It's the opposite of a glam photo. You wouldn't even know it's me, but I could do that one.
That's some good stuff.
Somebody made the point, a friend of mine last week was saying, the weirder you look in this, the safer you are, which is a good saying, I feel like. Just because, yeah, I think some people feel weird, like going full out, you know, like when they're going out, like wearing the shield and all that. But like, we've been double masking, shields, gloves. We'll get some looks here and there, but it's like, we're being safe. What?
Right.
Giving you looks, that's silly.
Yeah. I think we all agree on that.
You're amazing. Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was really, really fun. I really like answering questions for someone else. It's fun. And questions for me.
Yeah, I think that everybody gets a little, you know, gets to exercise a couple different different muscles there, but ultimately it's all just about having a nice time and talking about things like facts of life, which you just don't ever get to talk about. I don't even know, you know, that much about it because it wasn't really my jam, but I knew, you know, it was around when I was watching a lot of TV, so you know, you feel like you've seen a lot of something.
Right.
We always do at the end of the show, I say kind of as a sign off, some sort of pun with Doug in it.
Oh, real quick, is there anything you might want to promote before we?
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. I was going to do that too.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were just signing off.
That's all right, though. That's all right. I liked it once we settle on a thing for me to say at the end, then I like to talk for another minute or two to, I'm saying this like I do this all the time, but I don't know what's going on. or actually, we can think about it while we're doing the plugs.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Just something, you know, I can't think of anything we talked about today that would be a good Doug, a Doug pun. But let's promote Allison's stuff. What have you got to plug other than, of course, Allison Rosen?
Yeah, please check out Allison Rosen is your new best friend. It comes out twice a week. I've had Doug Benson on many times. I've had Doug and Doug on. And so Monday is a one-on-one. I just had Phil Rosenthal. No, I just had Bobby Moynihan on. Before that, I had Phil Rosenthal on.
Oh, wow.
And then Thursday is a group show. So please check that out. And then my podcast that I do with Greg Fitzsimmons, it's called Childish. Check that out as well. And also I am on Patreon and Cameo.
Great.
Oh, and follow me on social media at Allison Rosen with one dumb L on Twitter.
One dumb little L.
Yeah.
I think I saw you just had Wendy and Huntsberger on, right?
I did. Yes. Okay. I had Wendy Molyneux of Bob's Burgers and The Great North and Dave Huntsberger. They are regulars and I love them.
Yeah. Dave, I the tease about Dave's celestial story, I got to check out for sure.
His celestial lighting. He had extra special. Yeah. He's great. He had extra special lighting. Oh, and then also I have been putting stuff on YouTube. You can watch my shows on YouTube, youtube.com/Allison Rosen. Again, one L.
Wendy's gonna be, she's writing the next Deadpool.
Yeah.
That is right.
That is huge. That's great.
Yeah, with her sister, I guess.
Yeah, her sister is her writing partner. And oh, cool. They do Bob's Burgers and they created the North. Yeah,
I've got to say some of their words on Bob's Burgers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's fun. all right. Well, I was being so good on time and now we're going long. But thank you again to Allison Rosen. And follow Doug Loves Movies on Twitter. There's a Twitter account for Doug Loves Movies now, at Doug Loves Movies, for all Doug Loves Movies stuff and zero politics. Even when I accidentally tweet about politics on the Doug Loves Movies account, I delete it immediately. Doug Mellard, what have you got to promote?
I just want to say this week to all my Texas family and friends to stay warm and Hope your power comes back soon if it's not already there. Thinking about you guys.
Well, that's a very nice way to end the show that I'm going to call, as always, Doug and, you know, all caps, Doug.
Got it.